Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, here is something brand spanking new that I think will grab a lot of attention. It's about establishing a teacher residency. And we have with us from the esteemed bastion of knowledge across the street, Winthrop University, Dr. Lisa Johnson, who is an associate dean with the Winthrop College of Education, and Dr. Robert Prickett, who is with the Arts and Sciences Department over there. Welcome. How's
Thank
everybody?
You. We're doing great. Doing
now,
great.
Are there any classes on Friday? I just wonder.
A few.
Huh?
A few.
Who
a few
avoids
classes,
them more?
Lots of meetings.
Do the professors avoid them more or the students?
Do I have to answer that? Can I plead the fifth already?
We know the answer.
Mission to start.
She just gave the answer. Oh, yeah, it's not the kids' fault that they're leaving. It's the teachers. I love it. Okay. So, believe it or not, this is a serious program.
It is.
All right. So, Lisa, tell us a little bit about you, if you would.
Sure. I came to Winthrop in 2004, straight out of the elementary school classroom. Wanted to move into higher education to work with developing teachers. My role now, I've moved into administration, more out of the classroom, but my job is the best of both worlds. I get to work with schools and classrooms and look at how to get funding to support the things that they need, as well as look at current problems and how to address those, one of those being the teacher shortage. So we'll talk more about that.
Good. How about you, Robert?
So I came in 2010. My background is English education, so I was the high school English teacher who's also continued on, and I was hired here to be the English ed guy in the English department, and then have also transitioned to administration, and so now I'm an associate dean in the College of Arts and Science who works as a liaison with the College of Ed. So that our secondary programs are housed in the College of Arts and Science, so those high school teachers get the content in the College of Arts and Science, and they get the education in the College of Education. So we work together on this grant as well as curriculum and everything else.
Good. So it's no newsflash that the teacher shortage issue is becoming greater and greater almost every year. Lots of reasons for that. Most of them have to do with economics, that the way teachers are compensated is nowhere near close to what the private sector is offering, particularly in a robust economy like we have right now. So I guess we're looking for new ways to try to solve this problem. And therein comes this concept of teacher residency, which I know nothing about. So, doctor, tell me.
Sure. So, teacher residencies started probably about 10 years ago. And the general idea is that within a teacher education program, one of the key components is student teaching. So, this time when teacher candidates spend a great deal of time in the classroom. Now, if you're spending a great deal of time in the classroom, what you're not doing is able to work and maintain a salary to pay for school, to pay for housing, to pay for food. So teacher residencies came about to allow teacher candidates to spend more time in schools while providing a financial stipend of sorts to cover some of those living expenses. Just reducing some of that burden of the financial obligation of spending more time in the classroom without having a job as a classroom teacher. So allowing to get that experience and not having to carry so much debt or burden of the financial piece of it.
So how does this work? I mean, I'm still a little lost.
So the residency actually during that, for us, it's a year-long internship. So teacher candidates are able to spend almost an entire school year in a classroom before they are actually the teacher of record in that classroom. They are with a trained mentor teacher going through the cycle of an academic year. So through the teacher residency program, they actually are paid a stipend. So they get a monthly paycheck that can cover some of those things that they would have to cover and work on top of being in that classroom all day as well. They are obligated to the school district for 3 years after they graduate, so that's how the stipend is then covered. It's a recruitment for our partner districts with whom they're working. So it's somewhat of a forgivable loan. We're going to pay you for this, and you're going to work for 3 years in the district as a paid teacher. As you work those 3 years, then that money is forgiven.
So what you're learning in the classroom while you're being paid is getting you to a higher degree level or just getting you to a basic degree level?
Yes, so our program will give them a master's degree. So they will enter the field for South Carolina at a higher pay. There are states that are moving away from paying additional compensation for a master's degree, but South Carolina still does. So our candidates will come out with a master's degree and enter at a higher pay scale.
But it takes more than a year, does it not, to get a master's degree?
It doesn't in this program. Well, I mean, technically it does. It's an 18-month program. So it's starting in May, typically, summer session kind of work, doing stuff outside of the classroom or outside of the teaching classroom that they're going to be a part of as an intern. And then it's the year-long internship where they'll also be taking coursework as well. So it is an accelerated kind of program in the sense that they will have 18 months and it will get them the master's.
But the dollars that they're going to be getting from this program is for 1 year, or is it for 18 months?
It is for 1 year. It'll be actually a 12-month cycle. So they'll get paid starting May 1st, and they'll get paid monthly through April 30th.
So they're on their own for the other 6 months.
Yeah. So okay. It pays for what we call the residency year.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. Some buy-in. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
So to do this, you need money. Money, right? And nobody has it in their budget. Enter.
Where did we get it?
So, yes.
Yeah. One of the things we're very fortunate, I am also the director of the Rex Institute for Educational Renewal and Partnerships.
Jim Rex had him on this program
Jim and Sue
a number
Rex,
of times. Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal partners in education. But one of the things that has allowed us to do that structure gives us the opportunity to partner with school districts to find what those needs are, to really identify those things that we want to go after. So we collaborate to identify these different strategies, and then we look for funding. So this is something we've been talking about for 2 years, about establishing a residency, being sure that after we have the funding, we can continue the program. So when this is a teacher quality partnership grant through the U.S. Department of Education. It came out with a specific emphasis on teacher residencies. You can only apply to do a residency. So it was perfect for what we had been talking about. So we worked together with three of our partner districts, with our colleges of arts and sciences, with some state organizations, and put together a proposal. 30 proposals were funded. We were one of them.
So one of 30.
One of 30 in the entire United States.
And so, funded fully, which is also
even
better.
Out of the 30, they had, I think, 18 or so like that had a cut to the budget that they proposed. We did not. So we have close to almost touching $4 million for 5 years to be able to do this.
Golly, dang. That's pretty good. Yeah. So how long did it take you to pull all these pieces together? Because as you said, you're partnering with a bunch of different entities that made this grant really attractive to those who read it and decide whether you're going to get the money or not.
I will say that's probably one of the easier pieces, and I don't mean that. It's not easy to write this grant, but we are very fortunate through the Rex Institute to have these partnerships established already. We work very closely with the Center for Educator Recruitment, Retention, and Advancement, Sarah, who is on Winthrop's campus but really has a focus on that recruitment and retention of teachers in South Carolina. We work very closely with them. We work closely with the districts with whom we're partnering already. We have worked with them on our curriculum, on what we need to do to prepare teachers for the unique challenges of classrooms today, for the diversity of learners. So we already have a lot of the partnerships, which makes that's why we're successful in these areas.
That's interesting. So you're going to have how many teachers? I mean, you get $4 million to use over what period of time?
Five years.
5 years, a little less than $1 million a year. How does that work out in terms of teachers?
So each year, one of the really great pieces of this particular write-up grant, I think, is the fact that really, truly kind of districts that we're working with. So we're working specifically with three districts, Chester, Chesterfield, and Fairfield. But they're kind of dictating who they need, what their critical need is for their schools. So each year we kind of anticipate that the recruitment class is going to be different subjects, different content. We kind of have a general sense of who we're going to be looking for in terms of those teachers. But for instance, this first year cohort, which will be 2020-2021, is going to be 10 math, science, high school teachers. And so again, each year we're going to kind of renew and kind of see what districts are needing and put in place and recruit specifically for populations that they're needing. For that kind of teaching environment.
So just 10 teachers the first year?
First year is just 10.
And right. Then what happens after each year, it increases a little bit?
Yeah.
The
right.
Cohort increases a little bit, and by the end we will have a projected 74 teachers prepared for these districts.
So if I were, whatever, a teacher not in the Chester or Chesterfield or Fairfield school districts, I would say, why didn't you select us? So what's the criteria?
So these grants do have specific criteria for the school districts with whom you can partner. So there is a high need designation, which is a poverty level that has to be met. There is a high quality teacher percentage that has to be met. So teachers that are deemed by the state and the federal government as high quality in terms of their preparation, degree, et cetera. So there are several criteria that have to be met to be able. These were partner districts already, so it was just identifying those who have the need to involve in this initiative. The thing that we are going to do, though, is establish a program that any district can use. So by the end, we may not have the grant money, but we will have the program, and we will have a structure that any district can use.
And one of the key things through this, as we've talked about before, that sustainability piece is kind of key for us. We steal from Lisa, we weren't going to do this unless we could make sure that it wasn't just a 5-year drop. It had to be something that was going to be sustainable by the end, so that this program could expand or continue in some way.
Absolutely.
So to make it sustainable, after the grant money has gone out, you're going to have, some private sector help to fund this?
Not necessarily. District, there are places that do this across the country. They actually started in some urban areas. And so we have some contacts through some other organizations, and they're going to help us look at, from the university, from the district perspective, from state money, some from federal money, how can we use what we have to keep this going? So that's part of the work that we'll do over the 5 years, is basically researching that, getting some outside help to come and look at our districts and how the university works and things like that, and they will help give us ideas that this is how you can continue without grant funding.
So you've got these three school districts, Chester, Chesterfield, and Fairfield. Are you going to use those over the entire 5-year program?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And they are heavily involved in the decision-making process, as Robert said. So this year's math and science. Next year, they will look at their teacher, their teaching force, and say, okay, we're going to need special education. So this year, we're going to focus on special education and maybe middle level. So each year, we'll make that decision based upon their rosters of what they will need.
And they've been involved and will be involved. They're part of the leadership team for running the grant now, so they are heavily involved in kind of the processing of this from the other end.
All right, so the teachers who are selected, they're going to take a sabbatical from school, or these are people that are not already working in these districts?
So, yeah, these are pre-service teachers. So these will be very much either undergrads. So taking, as an example, this cohort of 10 we're putting together currently, they are likely coming from undergrad biology, chemistry, math majors who haven't thought about education or have decided later that they'd like to do some education component. They're potential career changers who've been out in the industry and are now wanting to career change back to teaching. So the master's that they will earn is actually a master's of arts in teaching. So the degree that they will earn will actually then get them to be certified to become a teacher.
So I can see right now, if I were a student at Winthrop, I'd be lined up to jump into this program, because I'm going to get, number one, get a master's degree, and number two, you're going to pay me for most of this, And what I'm giving up is 3 years to teach in one of these districts. Is that right?
Right. Now, they will cover their own tuition. It is not a tuition-based grant. So it does provide them a $20,000 stipend for that 1 year.
I got you.
That they will cover the tuition. But what we will do is help them find other resources to cover their tuition, because there are multiple grants out there, especially for the areas that we are exploring, math, science, special education, those areas. There are lots of other forgivable loans that can cover their tuition on top of the $20,000 stipend.
So the $20,000 can be used any way that the student
needs
to use it.
Absolutely. Yep. The purpose is for living expenses.
Pay the rent, right, go to a movie, whatever.
Absolutely. Yep.
Very interesting. So the word is out across the campus that this is there?
It is. We are recruiting for that first cohort of 10. Timing on this did not give us a lot of wiggle room. We found out September 28th. That we received the grant, and it started October 1st, and we are recruiting for our first cohort. So we're using some of our own connections on campus. Like Robert said, our students who are graduating in December with a math degree who aren't really sure what they want to do, we're going to try to see if they want to explore teaching. We have some contact. Our districts are getting it out. They have people in their districts who are working in other departments with a science degree. This might allow them to come back and explore teaching. So we're using our own contacts, and then we'll start earlier exploring it for the next cohort.
Okay, so how do we select the top 10? Are we going to have a party or something? What are we going to do?
So there's multiple applications, as you can guess.
I bet.
So there's the Winthrop University graduate applications, because it's part of the graduate school. They're getting a graduate degree. There's an actual application for this particular residency program. And then there's also a teacher education application that comes shortly thereafter. So there's going to be a committee selection. There are interviews, writing prompts, et cetera, to kind of feel for why the student's interested, what their project is, you know, what their focus is in doing this project. So there are multiple checkpoints along the way.
And then the districts come together and really
helps
help with that.
Too.
They're picking the people who are going to work in their districts for three years.
So. Yeah. Okay, so the grant was approved the 28th of September. When are you going to fire this thing up? When are the first 10 going to be selected to get going?
So, as I say,
we have information sessions next week. We have a deadline of December 1st for the application process. And then basically within a really quick turnaround, we will be selecting. So, yeah, we are up. We've already had a full day of meetings, setting up another half day of meetings with the districts. So, yeah, we are already up and sort of running. We just don't have the pre-service teachers yet.
They're coming.
These 10 will be selected. Mm-hmm. They'll be in the classroom come January?
Fall.
And some of them will take classes in the spring.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Just to prepare them for the residency, depending on what they're coming with. If they're a career changer, they may have to take some classes.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, if you've got a PhD from Winthrop University, you're going to be able to figure this out real quick. We broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. The magical way we do it is in these white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three. Slice. Not bad. All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Relax. Love your car payment with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. If you're ready to buy your new car and start making those unforgettable memories, Founders features an easy online application, flexible terms, low rates, 24-hour account access with Founders Online, and fast, friendly service. Visit Relax, join Founders.com, or one of our more than 30 offices to see if you qualify for membership. Relax. Love your car payment with Founders. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Just like people, no two hearts are exactly the same. That's why Piedmont Medical Center's new expanded team of cardiovascular specialists collaborate on an individualized care plan for every heart they encounter, from preventative treatment all the way through surgery and rehab. Their easy-to-navigate care system provides compassionate, personal attention from their passionate team of specialists. You're in good hands at York County's Heart Hospital. To make an appointment with one of our cardiovascular specialists, visit mypmcheart.com or call 844-870-1499 today.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
To improve diplomatic relations with the U.S., Substation 2 was given the authentic Cuban sandwich recipe, and now we're serving it. It's Cuban pork on our fantastic subbread, topped with ham, Swiss cheese, dill pickles, and mustard, served hot off the panini press. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Back to Lisa Johnson and Dr. Robert Prickett are with us from Winthrop University. And it's all about a brand new teacher residency program that they have managed to pull together along with all their other partners from the Rex Institute, which is in place right now. They've got themselves a $4 million grant that's good for 5 years, and they're going to get 74 teachers over that period of time up and running with master's degrees and placed in the Chester, Chesterfield, and Fairfield School District. I think this is kind of cool, especially for students who are saddled with all kinds of debt.
Absolutely.
And here's a way they can get that master's degree and have most of it paid for without incurring any more debt.
Yep.
So, you know, most people who know anything about the federal government know that it's a convoluted process. You just didn't get this overnight. I would imagine there was a lot of back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then when it was finally granted to you, they said, here's the money, here's the program, we agree, but we want you to do this and we want you to do... Did you run into any of that?
We did. So... like you said, with all programs, they have some strands that they would like to see
integrated. Oh, just spit it out where it really is.
they have a focus on computer science. They are looking for schools to increase the amount, exposure, et cetera, that students have to computer science. And that ranges from just the thinking skills behind working on a computer to actual coding, et cetera. So... we did write in there to engage in some of that computer science work. And it's going to prepare teachers to students from kindergarten all the way through high school, looking at some computer programming, looking at, basically it aligns with the Portrait of the South Carolina Graduate, you know, that they have these thinking skills to collaborate, to communicate, to problem solve. So that's how we got that in there, and we're able to align with what our districts are already doing, while also having the opportunity for some professional development. If you want to teach computer science, we have that. If you want to get training in how to integrate computers into your classroom, we have that. So we were able to get it in there in a way that made sense for our districts.
So when the students finish this degree program, it's a master's in what?
It's a master's of arts in teaching, an MAT.
MAT,
yep.
Arts and teaching. Okay.
Yep.
Now, I would imagine also with a grant that you have got to, I don't know, report back to them periodically and say, here's what we're doing. You might need
periodically.
To get like every week?
Really, it's once a year. There's an annual report once a year. We do have a program officer that will check in with us monthly to bi-monthly, and they are really there as a support. We spoke with her a couple of days ago and very supportive of the program. They want people to succeed, so we have a person that's going to help
us.
So
it's a human being.
It is a human being.
Yep. Really?
It is,
yep.
And she is an educator by trade, which is also very exciting.
And she works for the federal government?
She does.
My God.
Department of Education.
Would they make an on-site visit?
Typically not. We will go for a meeting every year to D.C., and the grant pays for that. So they do support that, where we all come together, all of the grantees come together and talk about what we're doing and learn from each other and problem solve and ask questions. So,
boy, this thing. So what's the potential for this? I mean, where can you go with this? I mean, it sounds to me, if it all works out, this could be a $1 billion program, and you could be educating a lot of people.
Absolutely. But the thing, what we have to remember is what we want to do is build something that our districts can sustain.
Right.
That our districts are never going to have $1 billion. But what can we do to recruit more teachers to our areas, to provide them the support that they need, and to retain them? One of the key pieces of this grant, we will provide support for the first 3 years, but we want to retain them after that. So how do we make sure they stay connected to the community, they put down those roots, and they stay?
And that's a key thing. That's a key thing.
It's huge. It's huge, because teacher retention in and of itself is expensive, not just the recruitment.
And part of this grant truly is, and again, as we've talked to the districts, involvement in this, part of that sustainability is truly working with from the beginning. So, you know, having conversations now, not year four, but truly having districts help set up and kind of start talking through, so that we truly do have these kind of different options at the end of this 5 years, where other districts can get involved and look at their own kind of setup, but that we would be able to help with then for that kind of setup.
So as you're building this program that can be sustained after the grant has disappeared, again, I go back to the financial side of this thing. I mean, I can see you how you can put together the rest of it, but will the program you're building have criteria in there that we're going to have a certain level of dollars that...
It does. It over time, over the 5 years, we transfer the cost of the program from the federal grant to shared input right. from the grant partners. So that's why we start with 10 and then go to 16 and then go to 20 and 20, because we can have more because we're sharing the cost. So there is a development of budget sharing over the time of the grant. But we don't start there because we're not quite sure how to do that yet. The grant allows us to take time to be able to do that.
Well, we think what eventually is going to have to happen, let's use these three school districts, is they're going to have to see the value in this thing. And then when they're doing their annual budgets, they're going to have to start putting a line item in there for this.
Absolutely. And they do. And that's the thing. They see the value. They see the need. They see the potential. So they are in it. They are going to learn how to do it with us. And we're going to be successful at the end. I have no doubt. No doubt.
I love the confidence.
That's
right. Great.
Wouldn't do it otherwise.
Wouldn't do it otherwise.
That's right.
So the timetable now is we've got the money. Mm-hmm. That's all in place. The program's been approved. Everybody understands everything. And now we have to put this into action, which means you've got to get these students, mm-hmm. get them into the pool, get them selected, get them ready to go next fall, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And then you have to design the curriculum for this master's program, or is that already in place?
The curriculum's already more or less in place. What we're going to more spend our time kind of tweaking is because of this, we really are focusing on the community aspect. So we really truly see that as one of the key components to getting them involved in the community out in Chester, out in Fairfield, as much as possible. So with regards to this first cohort, we have an MAT program for math and science. We have the ability to do that program because that curriculum is set. Our tweaks are going to be more about
how to deliver the curriculum.
That kind of thing.
All right, Drs. Lisa Johnson and Robert Prickett, thank you for being here. Thanks for all that you've done with this grant, and I hope we can come back together.
Absolutely.
And see how this thing is
Thanks
going.
Thanks for having us.
Sure, thank you.
Down the road, all right?
Yes. Yep.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. My thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, they're quick learners at Winthrop University, so I don't have to explain this again. Everybody around here knows how it's done. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. How do we do it, guys? 1, 2, 3.
Slice.
Garden.
Not bad. We'll see you at high school football tonight at 6 o'clock on the OTS Sports Network. Bye.